Salute for Room Tone.
Room Tone, Room Tone, Room Tone. Get in that Room Tone.
Tone to the room.
What the listener doesn't get is the dance that goes along with the Room Tone. I can't make that the intro for the third time.
That's it.
Really, no matter how amusing we find it.
Really give the listener.
Beer, beer, beer. Beer, 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 beer. Beer, 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 beer. Beer, 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 beer. Beer, beer, beer. Beer, 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 beer. Beer, 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 beer. It's the final countdown.
From our dusty cellars, having your ma call in sick for you, it's the final countdown. I'm Manus Cronin, joining us this week as always, like a string vest in a snowstorm, attention-grabbing but ineffective, Jack Toner.
I knew that one was me.
Like a Ryanair flight to Prague, long and uncomfortable, James Belfast.
Like, if you start with long, that could go either way.
It could, yeah.
But it went your way.
If he's talking about dongs, it's me.
Long dong Garvey. Long dong Silver. Like STI screening at a wrestling show. Unnecessary. Gavin Carberry.
Hey, just happy to be here.
We've got a packed lineup for you this week, but before we can get into it, I should probably tell them what it is first.
Tell them what it is.
James's New Year's. Honourable mentions. Two things I've come up with. An update on Manus' 8th day of sobriety.
Yay.
Which plays into the two things I've come up with. And more. But
wait, Gavin, Project Gavin?
Project Gavin.
Update from Project Gavin. Gavin. Yeah.
And nothing else. Unless there is anything else.
There is not anything
else. So before we get into that packed lineup, it's time to get introduced to the beers. Now, Gavin, you were supposed to bring them this week.
Yes, but I was delayed, so we are just having some of them freebies that Hopfully got for us.
Yeah, our friends at Hopfully Brewing.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chris. Thank you very much for the guys at Hopfully. This is their Sakura, which is made with a sriracha malt? Hops? Sriracha hops, I think.
Single hop sriracha ace is what it says on the can.
Yeah.
It is a California Common, which I think is what the Wild Bat was as well.
I think
was,
so, yeah. So a steam beer, yeah.
How did that end up your name? Sorry, I forget how
I think it's just because I was the one who bought it.
You played cricket, old Wild Bat. Can I congratulate you as well? We are 3 minutes into the show and none of you have done a stereotypical Japanese accent. It's Sakura beer.
I don't worry, it's coming.
I'm not sure why you worry about me or Gavin doing such a thing.
I had actually forgotten that I love doing that accent.
I bet you hadn't.
And now I'm finding it really difficult to not.
You're getting it into a glass.
Is that your New Year's resolution? You've given up doing offensive accents.
It's not offensive.
I mean, there is a nation of people in the East who would disagree.
I'm not saying it's offensive. I'm just saying it's not up to you to decide. Fucking grand.
I've started
fucking
watching
slant eyes and want a cup of fuck on.
I'm personally not offended by the Torm slant eyes.
Listen, yeah. I completely forgot to mention before the start of the show that we're going full racist. Now we're getting the beers into a glass, and what we'd normally do at this stage is go into an ad for our friends who are our sponsors, but we've recently been in negotiation with our new sponsors, and we're pleased to announce that for 2018 our new sponsors are our old sponsors, the Tap House.
Yay! The best sponsors ever.
It's the tappiest house in Dublin, and in my opinion the best. Now, of course, I haven't written an ad yet. The great news about our new sponsorship deal with the Tap House is it's going to mean many more ads. We've been specifically told they like the ads, we just have to make more of them, so we're gonna. That's gonna be a real hardship.
We're gonna do more
variety of the ads, something that you actually want to listen to.
We've got a team of copywriters working around the clock to pump out ads of as high a quality as Madness produced.
That's a big team.
It is a big team. There's 20 people.
The first guy writes a good one, and then the next 30 of them have to dumb it down a shade until it eventually gets as shitty as my ad.
You just imagine them like on a whiteboard just like crossing out everything, just wiping it away and writing 2 minutes Ranala Lewis.
It would be a montage. Yeah. I thought that'd be a fun video.
Yeah.
Just like gradually getting more disheveled, rolling up the sleeves, coffee cups everywhere, balled up bits of paper, and eventually 2 minutes Ranala Lewis. Beer. And that's done. So that's our new sponsor is going to involve us doing monthly fine ale trips to the tap house. So the great thing about announcing your plans before you do them is it's really embarrassing if you don't do them.
Yeah. Pressure makes diamonds. You gotta be force yourself to do it.
Really try and stick to that.
At least once monthly fine ale trips to the tap house, which hey, we'll probably tweet out when we're going. If you happen to be there, you can join us.
Yeah.
But we won't be annoyed at you if you don't.
And that's gonna be kind of a fact finding mission to try out new beers, see what you guys. We only try out one beer a week, and we know that there are many more beers that we never get to try. So, like, it's a good opportunity to try new things.
I'm particularly stuff on draft that, like,
oh yeah,
you know, cause, and it's also it's not like you can only get it on draft. Like, they have growlers and stuff, so you can get it to take away if you want. There's a litany of stuff we don't do, so we're gonna start doing that, and I think that's kind of a fun thing to do. So in lieu of an ad this week, because I haven't written one.
I got one. Just go to the fucking tap house.
It's in Ranala.
2 minute walk.
From the Ranala Lewis stop. You can also get to it from other places. It's just by the triangle. It's where Russell's used to be, but it's a whole other thing.
They've taken away the dank in the best possible way.
They've put in a kind of craft dank, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
They've got, like, if you're a craft beer fan, awesome. If you're not, awesome too, because they've got great cocktails. They're big on their gin. I know, as is most of Dublin these days, but I think you'll find the tap house is even a cut above the usual spot. The food is fantastic.
Oh yeah, food is unreal.
My Mexican brother's in the kitchen, you know who you are. Making that sweet ass food.
That flatbread was nice. Yeah.
Flatbread.
Flat bread.
I ate a truck.
Why would I eat a truck of their food? Hey, si, patron. I'm not being racist. It's a thing we do. I swear to God.
I can't believe the day that we're drinking Sakura, the first racist accent was not mine.
But it's all right, man. You know, it's fine. I mean, it's not fine. So that's not the official ad, my insensitive Mexican stereotype. But just to tell you, their food is where it's at. We're going to tweet out the next time we're going to be there, but don't wait for us to be there. Go up and, hey, if you're listening to the show, go up to Adam, say hey, what's up.
Yeah.
Go up to other people who aren't Adam, they know us too.
If you're nearby, go there, and also if you're not nearby, it's worth the trip.
Go there.
If you're in Canberra, you can get there on the Lewis now.
Oh yeah, that's a new thing, isn't it, with the extension. You can get there, and also it's way better than being in Canberra. But that's not a knock on Canberra. I mean, I also do mean to knock Canberra, but
we'll get to that later in the show.
And of course that's all thanks to us working behind the scenes to get that Lewis extended, just to get more people in the tap house.
Yeah.
That was a real wise use of our political clout.
It was our once-off
magic button that gets us what we want.
Hey, but Adam, the tap house money has had to go up a bit this year. Why? We've spent tens of millions.
Turns out lobbying is expensive and inefficient.
We actually didn't lobby, we just paid for it out of pocket. €4 billion in debt.
We got that.
So share this podcast with your friends.
All our houses, but we didn't.
Given that we were just pushing our once off do whatever we want political button, we really shouldn't have done that.
No, yeah, there's plenty of other things I would have done. Like pants to Leo.
Oh yeah, that would have taught him. I met him at the wrestling 2 prides ago.
Oh, what?
Did you? The wrestling?
Oh, because the Pride night out was in the generator afterwards. Yeah.
So I met him there, and I congratulated him on whatever he was doing. He wasn't Taoiseach yet.
Yeah.
But I called him deputy, and he didn't like that because he was a minister at the time.
Ah.
I was just drunk and trying to use the polite word.
Yeah.
Rather than, I don't know what else you might call it. Knobhead! It's very hard to call a politician knobhead at Pride. Without sounding like a knobhead yourself.
Yeah. That's kind of a DMZ against calling.
You probably shouldn't do it anyway.
I don't know.
That's the tap house. 2 minutes walk away. Craft beer, cocktails, good food, good time.
So we've recorded that and we can play that ad again verbatim.
Pretty much, that was part of the deal. We actually have to repeat that ad. But we can't record that and use it again.
We have to say it back.
Committed to memory.
So James, I need you to remember all your lines.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Good that we didn't go off scripts then.
And script can go away. Great stuff, lads. Alright.
Well, we actually have to do it for both ad slots in the episode, so we'll be doing it again in half an hour.
Oh yeah. Shit, we've got another. Jesus Christ.
We used up all our A material. And our A material was crap.
This is the second phase of our sponsorship where we asked them to pay us to not speak about them.
Wasn't that our initial commercial idea? It's just like
a couple of weeks was us.
We'll start talking about children. Just starting to
talk
about
not the top heads, but starting to talk about businesses and saying bad things about them. And paid us to stop. Yeah, that was a great idea. It worked. I mean, I'm still alive. And in the end of the day, that's what they said.
Well, we have stopped talking about whichever businesses they were, so.
Yeah, because they shut down because of all that smack we were talking.
Well, because it wasn't just that. I mean, we were firebombing premises.
Oh, yeah. It was a proper racketeering thing we got on, not just this.
Oh, like, this is just a cover.
Yeah, we're on late bed. We pretty much can't get out of this.
They got Don Gavatore up at the top of this thing. And then the police hear this thing, they're like, it can't be that goofball. Come on.
Yeah, Ben moved to Canada. They got out the red marker, just put a big X. Next to his name.
We've got a wire in the building. Yeah, well, actually,
we've got
two.
The beer nut as a consigliere. There's
nut. You are the nut behind bars. That was a good TV series idea. He does look a little bit like Ross Kemp.
Yeah.
He looks more like Phil Mitchell, but let's be polite here. Phil Mitchell is still a tough guy. Just not Ross Kemp. He's not on Gangs. Phil Mitchell hosts Britain's Hardest, which is different.
Oh wait, are they not the same person?
No, Grant Mitchell is Ross Kemp. I don't know what Phil Mitchell's actor is called.
Oh yeah, it's a guy who kind of looks like
Phil's his brother. Who
not Robert E. Lee? Richard E. Grant.
No, that's Martin Kemp.
That's Martin Kemp.
Yeah, he's the guy from.
He looks like, but is not. Yeah.
No,
as Charlie Brooker points out, if you're watching Britain's Hardest, the show will be ruined for you if just in your mind you replace Britain's Hardest with Britain's Most Erect.
So that's it. That can be a little Twitter game for our listener. Find out what Phil Mitchell... We're not allowed to Google on the show, so find out what Phil Mitchell's actor is called. And you tell us if he looks like the nut. You tell us. Not now. He
also,
probably doesn't look like him
now.
He probably... Like, you want to go back 10 or 15 years.
Can we have a first fucking tasting?
Oh, I didn't realise I was in charge of that. But yeah. I'm really enjoying the power.
Given that Manus isn't drinking, he's been delaying the first tasting for as long as possible.
I'm a thirsty boy.
Yeah. I like it.
Do you?
I do, yeah. It's got a weird flavour. Kind of a fruitiness. A definite fruitiness. And it's not that bitter, I think. You know, it has a great hop character kind of initially. But yeah, the kind of fruitiness is the main thing that comes through, and it's a kind of peach is what I'm getting. James, correct me.
You're correct.
Yes!
You get it correct. Yeah, he corrected me.
That's it. That guy who generally did well in school being asked to be corrected, he's just like, yeah, that's generally a positive experience for me.
I pretty much agree with what Gavin said. I think nail on the head. I think this is nice. I think California Common is a style. It's not a very common style. You don't see it very
despite
often. Despite the name.
Yeah.
I think the Wild Bat is the only other one we've had. I really like that. Mm. I like this as well. Yeah, it's got a bit of fruitiness to it, but not too much. Not overpowering. It's very drinkable, and I quite like it.
Do you reckon California Common is one of those things that has a very distinct taste that it should taste like? Or is it a bit like Saison, where it can kind of be anything?
I thought it did have a distinctive taste, having only tried one. But this is way fruitier, and I remember the Wild Bat being a bit more caramelly, a bit more kind of a different, more kind of artificial sweetness.
Yeah, okay.
And not that artificial's bad, but this one tastes a lot more like a natural flavour, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. The first hit of this is really tasty. There's a bit of an aftertaste to it that like brings it down a bit in my estimation. It's not bad, it's just not as good, but the first hit is class. It's funny, I don't remember we met these guys at the in the Shaw at the Brewtonic Beer Festival. And and I don't remember loving it.
Oh, I remember hating it. But that I think that was because we had the beet juice beforehand. And that tasted like having... It was like one of those Willy Wonka creations that tastes like a whole roast dinner. And then having this afterwards, it just didn't sit right. It seemed a bit kind of plain, or it seemed a bit something. But like, in isolation, it's really nice.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
That could be kind of a feature of beer festivals, right? I mean, you know, where you're almost... I mean, at the most gentle end of it, it can just be like, you're so overwhelmed with massively big beers that other ones kind of slide by, and it's not that you don't like them, but that you just kind of don't know.
It's just that's not the place for them in your day.
Yeah. But similarly, it can happen that you just have something that just doesn't, you don't have the right palate cleanser for it, it just doesn't mix, it doesn't sit right with all the other ones, and some of them aren't festival beers. Some beers should be had in isolation or whatever, so that's, that's a positive thing, because we weren't, you know, you did mention that it wasn't, I mean, you didn't dislike it, but it wasn't your favourite Hopfully brew.
It's not one of the beers that we often have on the show that like really like stands out. It's not super strong. It's 5.4%. It's, again, I think the style is like, it's kind of like half ale, half lager.
Yeah, almost. That's it, yeah.
And he notes on the colour, lads, as well. Just
It's a cloudy cloudy AF, I would say. It's
cloudy AF.
Yeah, kind of a what would be described as a New England style IPA, but it's not an IPA. So
I think it's lager yeast, but made in like an ale style.
So it
does have a bit of that sort of dry, refreshing bit of lagerness but it also has some ale fruitiness, which I think works very well. And it's not outstanding, it's not really grabbing your attention, but you could easily have plenty of these.
That's I was about to say that, like, their beet juice I absolutely loved, but I would only ever have one. That's their beetroot saison. This one I could see myself having six on. I could see myself being on this for the night.
And I think we have to remember, we should start trying to remember that, particularly since we've wiped the slate clean. We should start to remember that one of our big goals at the start of this was like, look it, lads, I know your fucking mental beers are mental, but like, remember, we love drinking. We should put a premium on drinking.
I appreciate your craft, and that when you do something mental and weird, I can understand that, but what I like is drinking.
I mean, I do like the idea that you should be able to have a certain, you know, of a beer that there is a value and should be able to have a few of them, and it does bring things up. So, like, that's good. Awesome. We've got to our first taste. We'll come back to a review later on. We've got a couple of things to get to. James, what did you do for New Year's?
Well, I was in France, and
you got engaged again!
I mean, that's not what I do in France, but okay.
That was Vienna, you absolute philistine.
But I had a great New Year, anyway, but got to basically witness a New Year's concert that went wrong in several ways.
Okay, no, because you say concerts go wrong and you say France. It's just I hear something.
I wasn't at the Bataclan.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Whoa.
It was the Eagles. Not the Eagles of death metal.
Well, it was a close call is all I'm saying. We nearly had tickets fucking booked for it. Until we noticed.
Sorry. So first we were at a ski resort, and they basically set up this sort of New Year's concert on like the sort of the bottom of the slopes where like the town meets like where the ski runs end. Mm.
Did you say you enjoy skiing, James?
A bit. I'm sort of simultaneously both types of marmiting it. I love it and hate it at the same time. I'm going down the slopes going, this is great and I hate it. But, you know, this concert was put up, like, it's on a snowy slope and under, like, there's a couple of hundred, maybe 1,000 people there. That snow gets crushed down into ice very quickly. And it is steep enough. And so you just see entire sections of the crowd suddenly vanish as one person slips and takes everyone around the right with them. And then some people in the crowd decided to play a game of get on each other's shoulders and spin around in a circle as fast as you can.
Jesus.
I bet they thought you were someone doing that. Get down off there, you kids!
That's right. And
take off that trench coat. Trench coat, three children.
And so this was what we were doing as New Year approached, while the band can only be described, their style was steampunk Sex Pests. They looked creepy dudes. Their playlist was basically stuff that I'd have loved age 12. A lot of early
Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
A lot of Black Eyed Peas. They snuck in a bit of OPM, I think, at one point.
I'm going to be honest, this sounds great.
Can anyone name their second single?
It's not Heaven. Heaven Doesn't Half Five is the first.
Hell is a grind rail.
Oh, that's their third. That's their third single.
Purgatory is just a flat surface.
Yep, there you go. So no one can.
Can you?
Oh yeah, I can. Yeah.
What is it?
So what was the rest of the title?
Go on.
I believe it was called El Capitan. One of my little things I like is the second singles of One Hit Wonders, or in the case of Weezer, because they had two hits, their third
What was their third?
Wannabe Gangster. Had a little alien in the video. Their second single was a cover of A Little Respect.
That's Wheatus.
Weezer. Did I say Weezer?
Yeah.
Oh, Weezer are good. I meant Weezer.
Weezer had several.
You should have caught what I said Weezer and One Hit Wonders. They've had many hits.
I meant Weezer, but each one was only one hit.
No, I meant Weezer. Of course. I used to talk about Weezer all the time, including the guy who plays Maracas.
Yeah, he's obviously the brother of someone.
Their mate, or their brother. Like, you've got better at your brother be in the band. But Mom! We call that Joey Fatone syndrome. Sorry. You have more on your concert.
Wait, it's not pronounced Fat One?
Such a cruel naming thing. He was the Fat One.
But also, like, you know what your name is. Lose some weight.
He might have. That might have been as skinny as he could get.
Well, then, if that's it, own it. Gain some weight.
Joey Fat One.
And change your name to Fat One.
Yeah, I mean, everyone remembers him. No one else remembers anyone else in NSYNC. As long as we don't think about it at all.
As long as you don't think about it or watch this year's Super Bowl halftime show. Anyway, James, concert.
So anyway...
Were Weezer playing?
It was. Unless they were dressed up as French perverts.
Gavin, as the lead singer of Weezer, what do you think?
Takes off my glasses, puts on a different pair of glasses.
It's me, Rivers Cuomo. Yeah, so we got up to New Year, and then the band stopped, and on came a DJ, and he was supported by a girl with a violin and a guy with a saxophone. And they started about 15 minutes into their set. The sound breaks for everyone except the guy on the saxophone. He has to go up and do a solo, and at first you think they've just given him a solo. Then after about 2 or 3 minutes, he finishes. He tries to leave, and like all these like techies like push him back out. And, like, oh. So there's just 10, 15 minutes of this guy doing a saxophone solo at about 20 past midnight.
If it wasn't Careless Whisper and only Careless Whisper, I don't want to know.
And how many pregnancies do you think resulted from that 15-minute sax solo after midnight at a ski resort in France? Those are the sexiest things I can think of.
Well, he hasn't said that's the end of his news, so...
And
last holiday was the engagement.
James is up the duff. There's just more room in there. just bigger. That sounds much like the way you describe skiing, as like... hate good.
Yeah.
I'm sure in that moment I'd be like, this is fantastic and I want it to stop.
Yeah. And also the story is like way funnier than if you had just had a good night with like a DJ violin saxophonist or whatever the Eurovision combination they had come up with.
Yeah, the only difference between that and skiing is that for that, all the small children have been sent to bed, whereas in skiing, they've been doing it for like 3 or 4 years before they could walk almost, and they're amazing. And I'm going down really slowly, trying not to die, and then these like little shits shoot past, being amazing, and like, because they've got such a low center of gravity, and I don't.
If I was to pick a sport for you, I mean, it's right up there as one of the last things I'd do. But like you said, you're shit at basketball. That croquet you're pretty good at, because you have to swing a long
thing. Pendulous.
Yeah.
It's a long pendulous thing of a thing.
And you're a pretty good jockey as well, except you have to run as the horse does.
Your feet drag along the floor, so you've got a Fred Flintstone your way.
They cut a hole through the first couple of horses when they figured out they couldn't survive that.
Just let them hang over the side like everybody else.
It's much like the first Matrix. So I've been having some interesting... have we got an update from Project Gav?
Do we want to do that now?
We don't have to do it now.
Okay, right. We can do it now. So I've been trying to like gain weight as part of this whole project we're getting on. So as opposed to water, I've been drinking a lot more milk. I am almost 100% lactose intolerant. there are like 2 pairs of jeans I can no longer wear, and I might have to get my couch reupholstered. It was a war zone down there. Normally my farts aren't that stanky, but like, I might have to move apartment.
Oh, I you have a pre-existing condition.
I have a song for Gavin's weight gains.
It's
very similar to a song you might have heard before. It's time for the Gavin's Games.
Absolutely.
That's it. So I might edit that back into the start, but I probably won't because that's work. So you've been sharting up a storm then.
Well, I haven't been sharting. I've been farting, but they've just been a bit more
shitting myself.
I think frequency, volume, and stank have upped, I'd say, about tenfold.
What 1940s bodybuilding book have you been reading that was just like, drink lots of milk?
No, like, I have to get up to like 2,500 calories, and I feel like Marge Simpson when she's like, I have a glass of wine a day. I know the doctors say you should drink a glass and a half, but I just can't drink that much. I'm finding it tough to eat that many calories, so I've decided to drink, like, get my extra couple of hundred by drinking. And yeah, just tooting like it's going out of fashion.
It's going out of fashion.
Yeah.
You finally ruined it.
So that's the main update is your flatulent booty.
I'm potentially lactose intolerant and I'm going to give up milk, yeah.
That's fair.
There are other ways of increasing your calorie intake. We can talk about them off air because discussing that sort of thing on air is boring! As you said last week.
If I find out any more bodily functions that are hilarious as a result of my lifestyle change, I'll let you know.
And anyone who's on beers next week, bring in a milk stout.
Oh, quite a good idea. Well, with that out of the way, it's time for our main, not really our main event, it's just a thing. It's two things, actually. They're both largely as a result of Manus being off the drink. This is the eighth day.
Have you had enough thoughts? How's
it going? Well, because I didn't have the, like, it's quite difficult, because I really, like, especially on days that I really could drink, like the weekends, like, what the fuck else do you do on the weekend? Like,
there's
sport on, and I'm fucking just sitting there, watching it, not feeling
just it. Thinking, like, I don't think I actually like sport at all.
And welcome to Setanta Sports and the new Ulster rugby game. We are winning here because, hang on, wait a moment. They're resetting the scrum. Very exciting stuff here. It's really not, as it turns out. I was thinking about hosting the show in that voice, actually.
I think you should.
No, why? Would be great. And then we'd have a special guest, Hinky van der Merwe.
Everyone has the benefit of not wearing the headphones, but when that comes through, it makes me bleed internally.
It's very hard for me to care about that. So yeah, that has happened. But, and also because I didn't have last year, like I had a very seshy festive period.
Yeah.
So I really needed to detox. I basically was on the quiet for like I had kind of reduced the amount I was drinking anyway. It was just the frequency was too high.
Yeah.
So it's not. So I have nothing but pleasant memories of like sitting with a beer, doing something nice, enjoying the taste of it. So it's quite hard not to go back. I haven't lost any weight. I've put on a pound.
What? How?
I have no idea. I haven't exactly been dieting the first week.
Yeah,
I've just
been
like, okay, if I want a biscuit, I'll have a biscuit.
Yeah.
I've gotten really into coffee and Diet Coke. I fucking love them both. I get a buzz off them now. It's fucking class.
I've gotten a love an addictive personality.
It's all I can do to stick to Diet Coke.
So do you have a first beer planned for the 1st of February?
All of it. I don't know, actually. It's an interesting point. I really don't, because I've been craving, like, everything. It's just like, I don't know. Let's see what's
That's a Thursday. When does our first show fall? It's a Thursday.
So 1st of February is a Thursday.
So the next.
The next one, yeah, so...
So
the 5th.
I'll fucking have a gay all the time. And also I'll get to enjoy how easily drunk you get after like a month after.
Yeah. Oh, is that Six Nations weekend? We're going to beer market.
Yeah!
Fucking A.
Fucking right. What a place to have good beer too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're doing. Happy days.
Who are we playing that weekend?
France?
It might be.
Yeah.
I am going to that game.
Oh, you are? Yeah, of course.
I forgot about that.
Glad I reminded you.
I'm glad you reminded me too. I might have a match on the Friday night.
You'll be fine. I mean...
I wouldn't worry about it. It's not my problem. I would not worry about it.
But two things have started happening as a result of me not drinking anymore.
Please be tooting up a storm.
I've been having consistently great arse days, actually. That wasn't one of the things.
Yeah.
That's an underappreciated thing, though.
I could just fart if I want to. And trust it. There's no chance I'm shitting myself. It's fucking great. Like, two things. One, which always happens, I've really started to drive my family up the wall.
Right.
With my wackiness. I can't just go away, have a beer, and shut up. It's just like, hey, everyone, it's your problem now, you know? So I do that. And so I came up with a little game that I and no one else likes to play, which is things Johnny Sexton does to his brother Jerry. For those of you not in the know, Jerry Sexton is the younger brother of Ireland out half Jonathan Sexton. He's also a professional rugby player, but he's just not quite as good as his brother.
Yeah.
In any other family, Jerry Sexton would be the star. Proud rugby player, Ireland under 20, played, I think he was with Northampton, he's with Jersey
Wait,
Reds.
Is he a real person?
Real player, yeah, he's with Jersey Reds now, he's playing in the English First Division or whatever. He's also pretty darn good, but he's a lot. But his brother's Jonathan Sexton, right? I figured out that there's a bunch of stuff that Jonathan probably, it's a great game and everyone can play if you want. So like, things Jonathan Sexton does to his brother Jerry. Eats all the purple Quality Street. Johnny's a Quality Street man, by the way, and he eats all the purple ones. And then he doesn't pass the Quality Street around until he's had all of the purple ones. Mm. Jerry Sexton doesn't even know they come with purple. He thinks, he's like, dog, what's the story with the picture on the box that isn't in there? Shut up, Jerry. Eat your fucking toffee pennies, all right? eats the purple Quality Street. Sucks the chocolate off his chocolate peanuts. Tip X's out his homework. Takes the SIM card out of his phone. Takes the prize out of the cereal. He actually does that to the whole neighborhood. He goes into the shop and takes the prize out of
all the
cereal.
I'm Johnny Sexton. Give me all
the prizes. And the children in his locality don't know that cereal even comes with prizes. Rinses the chocolate off his Cocoa Pops and then drinks the milk and then gives him back the Cocoa Pops when they're basically just Rice Krispies.
But not crispy.
Jerry Sexton thinks that's what Cocoa Pops are. He's never had a full bowl of Cocoa Pops. Swaps all his Premier League stickers for 1998 Nigel Clough. Jerry Sexton thinks that all Premier League stickers are Nigel Clough from 1998. You can play along. You can see how this would go.
Yeah.
And it's driving my sister and anyone who listen up the wall, like, oh, fucking see that there, yeah. Jerry Sexton doesn't even know that fields have grass. He doesn't even know rugby boots have studs. No sooner has the man got them bought than Jono has the studs whipped off them. He's slipping and sliding around the place, and for a second round, it's very important not to do that.
Jerry doesn't know that games can be two-player.
Yeah.
Because Johnny just, like, plugs out the second-player one and just pretends that Jerry's playing.
He thinks that's what the controller does. There's loads of it. It also works for, not so much anymore, it still works for Wayne Rooney and his also professional footballer brother, who's just not quite as good as Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that also a thing?
Yeah, he has a professional footballer brother who's just not quite as good as and it doesn't quite work anymore, because of events, but Michael and Ralph Schumacher
works
for them. So it's a game you can play anytime, really, as long as you don't mind everyone in the room hating you and not understanding why you find it to be the funniest thing in the world. So lads, if you can think of any good ones, think of them. Maybe even next week on Twitterverse. Start tweeting
in things that Johnny does to Jerry.
Oh, he's also joined Twitter like a little while ago.
Jerry has.
No, Jonathan, I'm sure Jerry's on Twitter, but like, who cares? Jerry doesn't even know phones come with the Twitter app. Jono just gets his phone and fucking deletes everything, including the phone call app.
Basically just a pocket watch.
what's that? Oh, my sponsors gave me a mobile phone. Give me it. I'm fucking gonna take his that. Don't want that.
Make it faster.
Don't need that. Make it Oh yeah, he takes a bite of his sandwich. Okay, Johnny, but would you mind small bites? Nah, massive bites. Eat it faster. Jerry doesn't even know chicken rolls come with that with stuffing. He doesn't know they come with a battered coating. Johnny, gives the skin off the KFC, will you? The Colonel's herbs and spices remain a secret to Jerry Sexton. So that's a game you can play. Please tweet at us and at Johnny Sexton, giving out to him for all the cruel things he does.
Mostly at Johnny Sexton.
If we can get a Twitter thing going of like things Johnny does to his brother Jerry, I'd be so happy.
I'll start that.
Might
right
be the greatest
hashtag
thing.
John V. Jer.
Hashtag Jerry doesn't know.
Hashtag Jerry doesn't know.
Jerry doesn't even know. Yeah, this will probably not fit in as well with that, the next one. I started dreaming mad shit. The maddest of which, I know listening to people's dreams is really boring, but you know, whatever.
But this one's about you, listener.
This one's about you, listener. I had a dream where I joined the new political party. It was me, Conor McGregor, and Cyprian Brady, whom Conor calls.
Who's Cyprian Brady?
Cyprian Brady is Fianna Fáil TD from Bertie Ahern's constituency, who is brother of Royston Brady.
Ah, yes. Royston and Cyprian.
Where the gentlemen come from?
Yeah. Royston Vasey, isn't it? He's the brother of Royston Brady, former MEP candidate who ran a campaign in time, and he almost won on a campaign with posters just for saying drive, passion, commitment, and like he never gave an interview, never did anything. He was top of the poll, and then he gave an interview. And he told a lot of porkies, and they were really easily disproved, and he went shot down the polls again. But Cyprian got in on Bertie's coattails.
Wouldn't get in on Bertie's coattails?
They are long and strong.
Yeah. So I joined the new political party. Me, Conor McGregor, and Cyprian Brady.
What was your platform?
I didn't get that far.
What was the name of the party?
I didn't get that far. Conor called Cyprian Furian. I'm telling his name wrong. It was our first day in the Dáil, and Conor was fielding questions. And my alarm went off! Where was this going? I need to know. If you're out there, dream gods, put this dream back in my head.
Congratulations on being elected without thinking of a name or a policy.
I'm sure Cyprian took
care of it. And also, why was Conor fielding questions?
I don't know. He might have been Taoiseach.
He might have been Taoiseach.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You might have given enough backstory.
You had a minority government of three fucking people.
Well, like he was cracking people with that left.
Yeah.
And by the 87th person, me and Cyprian were just like, do you know what? If we just fucking vote for him, we can be in here. I could probably be tarnished it. Why I remember that he kept getting his name wrong and calling him Furian, I couldn't
tell
you.
It's so funny.
But like, if I was really,
and also if you guys were in a political party, that's probably what would happen. I'm not saying it'd be Furian, but it will be something.
Well, I've never been more annoyed to have a job that required an alarm clock go off. Because they've been going mad, been having fucking mental dreams, but none of them has been as coherent. Like, this was just what was happening in my life now. I was now in the Dáil, and there I was with Conor and Furian. And it just was about to get so good. The fucking alarm went off. So if you're out there, Twitterverse, tweet in what happened. It's going to be really embarrassing when we beg for tweets and no one tweets in.
But
I don't feel embarrassed.
Any more embarrassing than Conor getting Cyprian Brady's name wrong all that time?
Embarrassing for Cyprian or embarrassing for Conor? Cyprian.
I don't think Conor gets embarrassed.
Yeah.
I don't know what would lead me to think that. I just suspect he doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry Saxon thinks his name is Furian.
Jerry doesn't know there is a second Brady brother.
Who's that? That's just Royston Brady in disguise.
Shut up and look at your Royston Brady wallpaper there, will you? Drive!
Commitment.
And they weren't, like, drive and commitment weren't on the same poster. Like, you get one picture of Royston Brady and say drive on it.
Did he have one that was drive and it was just on the motorway? Thanks, Royston!
Good advice, pal! I don't know. And he nearly won if he just not opened his mouth. But he didn't. So that's my life. That's what's going on there. I'm glad you've all been.
That's a good update.
Glad you've all been part of it. And the next week's update isn't going to be as good. But
I don't know if that dream again.
Oh, if I get back into that.
Have you ever thought about or done lucid dreaming?
I can generally wake up in my dream and like figure out that I'm dreaming and then do shit, but it's not as much fun, to be honest, apart from being able to fly and like.
You prefer the roller coaster element to a nice Royston Brady.
Yeah, it's fucking great when you wake up and you're like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. It's better than like any film. Yeah. Like you're so in the narrative.
You're in it.
Yeah.
You're part of it. I fucking had a game, like loads of Game of Thrones dreams one time when it turns out I was actually listening to the audiobook while I was going to sleep. So I was just fucking hanging out with pre-hand chopped off Jaime Lannister. Hanging out with him, just fucking getting a city ready for siege. I don't know. Then there were elephants. Fuck, man, it was class. That was an episode. You're like, that's a shit episode, but I was in it. No, like, so fuck, like, it's great. There you go. That's something. Dreams are fun.
Dreams are fun.
Do you think what you basically described there, Gav, is VR? And do you think VR will immediately fall on its ass when someone's just like, no, if you take this pill, you'll just have fucking weird dreams.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, if someone could guarantee me, like
a dreams with an ending,
a dream like, just a regular dream that I would have, like, once a month. If I could get that every night, I would be so happy.
You'd be so excited to go to sleep.
You would, yeah. I'd be like, I wonder what fucking mad shit I get.
The key is, Gavin, you need to get highly dependent on alcohol.
Yeah.
And then quit.
Oh, all right. I can do that.
It's going to take a good few years of dulling your brain for it to like decide to wake up and be like, better make sure this thing still fucking works. Okay, his imagination dream is okay. It's fine.
So that's, on to the next system.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of VR, I was hanging out my cousin on the weekend. I was minding him and he before he left, his dad was like, be sure to show Manus your new thing. He got one of those fucking Oculus headsets. And I thought I was going to get a go of it, but what I actually got was to watch him for an hour.
That sounds super boring.
That was the worst thing I've ever had to do.
Are you Jerry Sexton?
He doesn't even know.
I don't even know they work. I just think it's a mask you wear when you want to ignore your babysitter. Or a child minor. He's probably too old for it to be a babysitter. But you know what? Fuck it. He wouldn't let me use the Oculus thing. It was a babysitter. I wiped his bum bum.
Imagine, like, yeah, sitting and watching someone playing a normal game is dull enough. But at least you can see what's happening.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't mind watching. Like, of all the things you have to do, watching someone play a video game is pretty okay.
Yeah,
I don't mind
it's
doing
like
that.
Watching sports.
Yeah, but watching someone with an Oculus headset on is the most boring thing in the world. It's worse because you can't even just zone out. He's there, like, doing weird shit and clearly having fun. I didn't get a go. Oh, he told that's it. No, this is fun for both of us, you see. I'm basically Jerry Sexton.
You're Jerry Sexton. Right. You don't even know.
So it's fucking... I have to do another half for the tab. I don't mean to sound disappointed that we have to do an half for the tab. I'm delighted.
Yeah.
But what the fuck are we going to do?
Yeah. Damn, all that A material wasted. I love the tab.
I'm a big fan.
Why, Gavin?
Because it's 2 minutes walk from the road. That's not why I love it. No,
I don't even get to lose to it. I cycle.
I cycle there or I walk. I'm just brainwashed by this fucking podcast. Beers are dope. And
that's
they're constantly
true.
Rotating the taps. And if you want to try out what's the latest beer...
Not constantly.
The first half poured of this beer.
Finish pouring
the
before they... man, they have to be so friendly and so knowledgeable to pull that off. Like, oh, they're rotating.
I got you a half Imperial Stout, half California Common. You okay with that?
But yeah, last time I was in there, they have a bunch of beers that we've had on the show recently, such as the Beavertown Yuzu, a couple of the Yellow Bellies. You know, if we've tried it on the show... go and have a look in the Tap House.
Yeah.
Probably have it in there.
What's their Twitter handle? It's at Tap House Dublin, or is it
Tap House Ramblers? One second, let me just check.
It's different depending on the social media platform. One of them, I think, is Tap House Dublin, and one is Tap House Ramblers.
If you start to type at Tap House, though, into your thing, it will come up.
I follow them,
and I follow almost no one.
And, yeah, when you follow them, you get all of the latest events, and holy shit, their events are full.
Oh yeah, we're not. We went to them. We started going to them before there was any sponsorship arrangement.
Tap House Dublin on Twitter.
Yeah,
and I think they might be Tap House Ranelagh on Instagram. But
If you haven't been to any of their events and you're based in Dublin, you're missing a fucking trick. Loads of free, interesting beer, free food, entertainment by yours truly sometimes, if they'll have us back.
Yeah. DJ Love Love Supreme, he does be there.
DJ Love Love Supreme.
It might only be one love, I can't remember. He's there.
And like really interesting talks from like, they had Lurvig in, they had Trouble Brewing, they had
Yellow Belly,
they had
Whiplash. Beavertown is a big one, yeah, because they do, it's a big chance to get beer, to get a taste of beers that you ordinarily can't get in Ireland.
Yeah. So. And for beers that you can get in Ireland, get them like way before they're out, or like get special limited runs. Like it's a great event. It's kind of like a mini beer festival for one brewery. Yeah. And the problem with beer festivals is you're like, oh, I've tried the White Hag, I won't try anymore. Why not get fucking 20 things on and you're just going to like dismiss them because you had a little fun?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah. So you get to try out like 4 or 5 different beers, see what's going on in a brewery. It's dope.
Keep an eye out, like, do follow them on social media, or keep an eye out, because they'll tend to tweet out these Eventbrite links, because the events are ticketed, but they're free.
Yeah.
But you do need to get it early, because the tickets always
sell out. Yeah. If we didn't have an inside line, we wouldn't have gotten tickets because basically we're lazy boys who love the lazy lifestyle.
We're lazy boys.
But that means we get to bed on time.
We
Gavin.
Do get to bed on time because we're so tired.
Thirsty, lazy, good boys. So if you too are thirsty, lazy, and good, get on to follow the Tap House on Twitter and get down there, have a fucking drink and a bit of food.
It's Tap House Randall on Twitter, Tap House Dublin on Instagram. Their Twitter is where you want to be
around.
James just.
No, it's Tap House. Jesus Christ, I fucked that up. Oh, how strong is this beer?
All right, let's record this one again.
Tap House Dublin on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tap House Ranula on Instagram. Yes. Yeah. Twitter is really where you want to be at. That's where the majority of the action happens.
I met a bee at Ranula Lewis stop. And he was walking funny. Why wasn't he flying? You might ask. He had a few beverages, right? But he was walking funny. His knees didn't seem to be there. I said, "Hey, bee, what's up?" He's like, "Oh, it's my knees. They're back there, 2 minute walk away. That's the Tap House. It's the bee's knees." There you go.
Very good. Yeah, there it is. There it is.
There's the ad, lads.
That's the best we can do.
we're
going reviewing the beer. Fuck honourable mentions.
We're going to go back to the scripted one for the Tap House ads next week when I start writing new ones. Anyone can write one.
Yeah.
We're the Ron Burgundy of podcast advertising. If you write it down, we will read it on air.
Yeah. If another rival bar writes a really bad one, though, we won't.
Yeah.
If you're like, shit, 57 the headliner, pop dropping bombs over here.
Yeah, no, they're far enough away. They can be friends. Smiths.
Or
somewhere around them. I'd just be like, oh, they're taking all our customers because we're further away from the Lewis.
And worse.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. The other things are wonderful, but we can go back to them again. I don't think there's anything we need to talk about. Let's just review the beers and bring this shit home because we've been at it for a while.
Yeah.
What's the feels?
Someone else start.
This is nice. I think most of my points I brought up already, but because it's the California common style, it mixes that sort of refreshing lagery taste with a bit of interesting ale fruitiness. I also do agree with what Jack said, that the first taste is nicer and then the aftertaste, it's a bit too bitter, brings it down a little bit, but this is still a very nice beer. I'd still happily drink quite a lot of this. I'm going to go 7.5.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, I'm going to join you at 7.5. And the reasons are, this is a beer you could drink all night long. It's, again, as we said, fruity, delicious, really refreshing, kind of... I don't know how else to describe it. It's probably more complex than I'm giving it credit for, but I can only review subjectively on what I'm tasting.
Oh, yeah, that's fair enough.
It's absolutely delicious. It doesn't have the kind of grab you by the balls flavour that I like, that I would give like a 10 or a 9. This is just a great beer. Grab 10 of them.
And points for drinkability for sure.
Points for drinkability. For sure. Yeah.
I think you've nailed it, Gavin, that you can drink this all night and because it's not inherently weird, and I know that they've used a weird ingredient in this one, something that's unique, but it's made a really drinkable beer. I think it has a ceiling that I can give it. Like, the best executed normal beer for me is gonna be, I'm gonna join you guys at 7.5 actually, and I think that's about as good as that can get.
Yeah,
I think if that's what they were going for, just a really good solid drink it all night beer, They have absolutely nailed it. Like, it is not going to get the score that I would give a Fresh Prince of Kildare.
Yeah, it's probably losing marks for not being like a little bit less, a little bit more unpleasant, which might make it a bit more interesting or something. For example, Vice City. Yeah. There was something a little bit like unpleasant about drinking that.
You have to think about it.
I think this scale accounts for novelty.
Yeah, it does account for novelty.
So you got, and it depends on your own personal thing whether you want to balance novelty as highly weighted or you want to balance drinkability or whatever.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So, Gavin, are you going to be okay to work out this average?
A tough one. So you gave a 7.5. I gave a 7.5. Jack gave a 7.5.
I actually gave a 7.36.
Fuck you. So it's a final countdown score of 7.5, which puts it, I believe, to the top of the league.
Number one, baby!
All the way to the top.
Hopefully it can remain there for a long time.
Yes, because I believe the 8 degrees from last week had a 6.66.
It did, yes.
It was the devil's brew.
Spooky, spooky.
Devil's brew.
And Sakura? you're on the leaderboard number one.
Yeah, absolutely. There for a minimum of a month and a half.
Which leaves us only one thing to cheers to.
To Jerry Sexton!
To Jerry Sexton! He doesn't even know we're cheersing about him.
He doesn't know computers come with speakers.
Podcasts come with audio.
Jody just goes over and turns it down whenever it starts. Like
this bar just really slowly progresses from left to right.
He goes onto his iPod and puts the volume limiter on zero. So Jerry just like watches the blue bar crawl along. Yeah. Oh, Johnny, you sure it's not so? Keep the headphones in! And they're just
Xbox.
Little earplugs. Not connected to anything.
Wireless. The Find Out Countdown is brought to you by James Belfast, Gavin Carberry, Jack Toner, and Manus Cronin. Join the Find Out sensation on Twitter and Instagram at Fail Countdown. F-Ail Countdown. If you have any questions, don't be shy. FindOutCountdown@gmail.com.
This show is part of the Sentinel Audio Podcast Network.